It's the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And stepping into the studio with us right now is Kwame Raoul, who wants to be the Attorney General of the state of Illinois. Everybody's running for public office. I always go, why do you want to do that? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Of the statewide races, there's a horse race here in this particular for the Attorney General, which, you know, for years and years and year now, the years has been Lisa Madigan. She agreed she was going to not pursue this any longer, and it opened it wide up. And it seems to me in this race, the specter of Washington is a bigger piece than what's happening in Illinois for the Attorney General's race. Would you agree on that?
I think it's a balance. I mean, I think it's much more of a factor than it certainly was 4 years ago. You know, Lisa Madigan introduced me recently at a Democrat Attorney General conference, and she says, Kwame has wanted my job for some time. That's because I was planning on running for it 4 years ago when I thought she was running for governor.
Yeah.
When I was running 4 years ago, when I thought I was running 4 years ago, it was a different Attorney General's job. I think now, as you've indicated, what's going on, the role that attorneys general are playing collectively and individually on a national level is much different than it was just 4 years ago.
Were you to become the Attorney General, what do you think would be on your list that is not currently on your list? What would you be anticipating here?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a question of what's not on my list, because much of what I intend on working on is stuff that I've already worked on, whether it's access to health care. I've worked on, expanding access to health care, taking advantage of the Affordable Care Act for Cook County once the Affordable Care Act was passed.
But what happens if the Affordable Care Act goes away? If he holds the House and the Senate, I mean, the Senate probably, and the House maybe now, there will be a second attempt at that apple.
Well, you know, if you're looking at both Republicans and Democrats right now, this question of coverage for pre-existing conditions is not a partisan issue. When a health care catastrophe hits a family, it doesn't discriminate based on party. And the question of whether, you know, I'm a cancer survivor, whether you have coverage for a pre-existing condition and that coverage can save your life, it doesn't discriminate on the basis of party. And I think
Do you think that will go away in Washington?
The coverage?
Yes. Do you think protections for pre-existing conditions will go away? Because they're going to have to cut something somewhere, or they will at least offer insurances that don't cover that to people.
So the devil's always in the details, Ro. So Senator Duckworth, I was with Senator Duckworth yesterday, and she said there was, I forgot the guy's name, but a Republican senator that was offering a bill purporting to cover pre-existing conditions, except that insurers couldn't be mandated to provide medication or procedures.
So
I don't know what.
Like they would offer you. They would say that they would cover it, but not pay for it.
Yeah, you can be diagnosed, but you know we don't have to provide the procedures or the medication.
I think that's what scares a lot of people here, right? Isn't that what attorneys general do anyway? Is they go after people who are trying to kind of get around the letter of the law, the spirit of the law?
Well, it's happening right now in Texas District Court. Republican attorney generals have filed suit to remove that coverage for pre-existing conditions. The natural defendant is Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions as his lawyer. They backed away from defending it, and Democrat attorney generals, and including Lisa Madigan, have intervened. And this is not the first time. It happened before with the effort to remove subsidies for the Affordable Care Act.
You saw, speaking of Jeff Sessions, you saw him weigh in on the consent decree that Lisa Madigan introduced to the court to allow for a federal monitor of our police department, leading to sweeping reforms, potentially, for the department. You see a lot of rank-and-file officers not necessarily thrilled with the types of structure that might involve, but then you see community activists now get a seat at the table, and it's creating a situation where there'll be more voices heard, and hopefully the hope is that it leads to more of a collaborative feeling and maybe heal some of the wounds between the police department and the communities. Do you agree with the way this whole thing is being handled? Would you handle it the same way Lisa Madigan did?
I think I'd handle it much the same way. You know, this is not Jeff Sessions' first time weighing in on this. He weighed in by backing off of it because Loretta Lynch initiated the patterns and practices investigation. And once Jeff Sessions came in to office, he backed away from it. That's when Lisa Madigan stepped forth to continue to pursue it. It's important to characterize this as not anti-law enforcement. I have a lot of friends in the Chicago Police Department at all levels, all the way to the top. I mean, Eddie Johnson is a friend of mine. I've got folks who have been commanders, and I've got rank and file officers who are friends. This is about making sure that there is transparency and accountability, and making sure that there's a relationship between community, that the community has trust in law enforcement in a way that they cooperate with law enforcement, and it's in the interest of public safety. If you have a community, particularly communities of high violence, who are both afraid of the criminals and afraid of law enforcement, then you don't have a good formula for public safety.
One of the criticisms, one of the concerns that you hear from law enforcement is that who is it in the community who's going to weigh in on this? And there is concern that there are community groups that are really just gangs hiding behind the veil of community groups.
Or more antagonizers of police who might be filtered into those community groups.
And how do you weed that out and with, you know, sort of this shotgun approach to bringing everybody in to the tent to have a conversation? How do you weed out the people who really have malign intent?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's about the elements of a consent decree and who the monitor is. And yes, there are community groups who will weigh in on what they like or what they do not like about the elements of a consent decree. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there's language that has to be observed, and there's a monitor who's monitoring it, along with the federal court.
And ultimately, who is responsible if the consent decree is violated? Right. That's a money. That would be a fine. Right.
Ultimately, you know, there's a federal court that, you know, that the attorney general can go back to and say, hey, you know, there's a violation of this.
The U.S. attorney general can
We can.
The state can, too.
Because we've intervened.
You can suggest it back to the federal government, right, and they would then fine the city of Chicago. Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, mandate some. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then in contempt of that, I mean, this is where we get to, because I remember, I hate dating myself, but I'm the only person who will date me. So that's how that works. See what I did? Thank you. Anyway, the point is, I'm old enough to remember when there was a consent decree about Cook County Jail overcrowding. And that there were too many people in county jail, and the guys were sleeping on the floor in the day room for years. And the federal judge was constantly fining the county jail. They're like, well, we got people. What are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Can't afford. You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. It's one of those things about consent decrees that makes that makes actually good police work, good governance, good management of an exigent circumstances we do have here in crime in Chicago harder and harder and harder. I mean, if you were Attorney General Kwame Raoul, would you be open-minded to what the police are saying back to you here about what their needs are and their own safety?
You know, I've been in the legislature for 14 years, and I've worked on police reform with law enforcement at the table. And so I've demonstrated my open-mindedness. I've had law enforcement at the table. I've had community groups at the table. And I've done a balancing act, and that's what I would do going forward. I've got a track record of doing so, and nothing's going to change in that regard.
Would we expect you to be very similar in the way Lisa Madigan is as an attorney general? Are there things that you would do differently that come to mind?
Yeah, definitely. I'd be similar in ways. I think Lisa Madigan has been a super consumer advocate.
She is.
And so I would maintain that. I think one of the areas that I think I'd be a little bit more vocal on is criminal justice reform. I think we've got to be bold enough, even as law enforcement representatives, to say that, hey, the way we've done things traditionally are not doesn't make sense. We've gravitated to this compulsion to be perceived as tough on crime when it's cost us a lot of money and it hasn't improved public safety. On a bipartisan basis, we're realizing that embracing that type of philosophy has not done us well. I actually reached out to Governor Rauner before when he was Governor-elect Rauner, and I suggested this was a front that he can have a win on. And we penned an op-ed together in his early days as governor. And to his credit, he appointed a bipartisan criminal justice reform commission on which I served. And we made some recommendations that were carried out by the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about from the attorney general's perspective here? State Attorney General's perspective. Mm-hmm. We look at this problem, we look at crime in Chicago, the problem often from the perspective of law enforcement. And if we want to turn it around a little bit and look at it from what's happening in communities where you've got gang involvement, you've got families, you've got generations of people who've either been gang involved or the people have been killed in their families, and there's these revenge murders. We just covered yesterday that shooting at a funeral, right? Six people shot at a funeral. I mean, you're seeing this sort of thing happen, and there are, and we've always seen it in Chicago, but it seems to be at a critical point now because social media, you know, the evil of all of society, I would say. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. That social media is now the place where grudges are being, challenges are being made, and grudges are being kept. And it seems that how can we address, how as a state and as the lead law enforcement officer of the state, if you're elected, mm-hmm. what do we do about the community?
So I'm so glad you asked that question. Just this past Saturday, I was riding to a senior's building and a volunteer for my campaign who's a retired police officer who actually works with kids. He runs the Chicago chapter of a police athletic league. Mm-hmm. And he has police officers who work with kids. We drove
they do athletics, it's boxing and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, basketball and right. stuff like that. Yep. And so we drove up to a corner. I think we were about 45th in Princeton. There were two kids, about 11, 12 years old. As we drove up, their instinct was to duck as if we were about to shoot. There's a trauma that goes on in these neighborhoods as a result of normalized violence. I started my career, legal career, as a prosecutor in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. I was stationed after my term in criminal appeals in juvenile court. I served both on the abuse and neglect side and the delinquency side. When a kid was screened in on the delinquency side, I would do a background check. And a high percentage of the time, they had been in previously as a victim of abuse and neglect. There are cycles of violence right. that turns people who start out as victims of that violence, either directly or vicariously, into potential perpetrators of that violence. My high school classmate is dealing with this directly, Arnie Duncan. He's got a program called Chicago Cred. He's dealing with individuals who might be potential shooters mm-hmm. or potential victims.
Right. And that's another one of these. It's an interesting thing because there's this whole statistical analysis that's been going on. They've been trying to look at you know, predictive crime stats and things like that. Do you buy into that?
Somewhat. I mean, it's nothing is absolute, right? Yeah, but we have to try to use...
Because when one guy gets shot, let's just explain this to people who may not be familiar, that one person gets shot, let's say, then there's a nexus of people around them, especially if the gang involved, and they already know who these people are, who are around them, and who might be potential shooters of that person, or where the revenge would be for that.
So not everybody who gets shot is criminally involved. There are a lot of innocent bystanders. But there are a lot of people who are close to that circle that we're
But most of the people
about.
Shot in Chicago know their shooter, are familiar with the person who shot them.
Probably. Yeah. I don't have specific
statistics. That's what the police
say. Yeah. And they're probably right. And so we can hone in on a population of individuals who've been previously arrested, who've had commonality. I've often said, I spoke to this group, Moms Demand Action, about 5 years ago, and they asked me, if there's one thing, Senator Raul, that you'd ask us to focus on to curb gun violence, what would it be? And I thought they wanted a gun bill or something. Yeah. I said, get to know the shooter. Because I know of nobody who came out of the womb with a gun in their hands and an attitude that they wanted to shoot their neighbor. Something happened in the course of their life
right.
that turned them into that person. And I bet you if you matched up all the shooters, they would have a lot of commonalities. Why don't we start focusing in on what those common elements
use
are?
Use the science for that.
Yeah.
All right. Kwame Raoul wants to be the Attorney General of the State of Illinois. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you so
much.
Get some rest. All right. These guys, like the last 2 weeks, it's like an insane thing. What's going on with them? All right. And thank you for being here. Let's check in now. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump describes the killing of a Saudi journalist as a bad job.